5.5% if held for 10 years at the current DART rate.
Lunchtime on Newstalk 106 to 108.
And I'm joined now by David McWilliams, broadcaster, author and economist. David, good afternoon to you. Good
afternoon, Damien.
You have an extraordinary piece in this morning's Irish Independent. I'll just read a chunk out of it. It says, I did not go mad in the boom buying houses, but I can see how my family's prospects are related to my neighbours. Arguably, those of us who are vilified for predicting the crash should now want to see those who ridiculed us back then punished now. But societies don't work that way. You're in favour of debt forgiveness.
Well, I wouldn't even call it forgiveness, Damien, because forgiveness suggests that there is a sin, that it's a moral issue. I don't believe it's a moral issue. I believe we should have an amnesty. And the reason I believe that is because the way the economy works demands that if we are to get out of this. Now, I know many people will find it hard to say, hold on a second, during the boom, I heard all this nonsense and I wasn't taken in by it and I didn't borrow a fortune. And why should I therefore be punished by being, let's say, virtuous in the boom? I've people who went out and splurged away and bought big houses they couldn't afford. And I understand that argument because, Damien, during the boom, I was personally vilified by many people for exposing what it was, which was a scam. So personally, I probably have more motivation than anybody else to say we should now punish those who believed the hype and didn't see through the hype.
Well, what you're saying is that just simply throwing these people to the wolves is a mistake, and it's going to be an expensive mistake for society. Is that right?
Exactly, because if you look at the way the economy works in Ireland, what happens is that if a banking system is working very well, when you and I, Damien, pay our mortgages, our money goes into the bank, and then that is lent out on the far side in terms of investment for companies that want to invest, plant and machinery, particularly if that's the type of boom or that's the type of growth you want to have. But that's not happening here. The Irish banks are a bottleneck. They are broken, they are bust, they are dysfunctional. So when you take money out of the economy in terms of mortgages, it doesn't get recycled. And what you have is a credit crunch simply because the people have too much debt. They don't want to borrow. But more importantly, the banks have too much bad debt. And they don't want to lend.
Do you believe that this is the next wave of toxic loans that we're looking at?
What you have is a whole process at the end of a bust of the nature that we have had, which is very simple to predict. Initially, what you get is you get politically aligned developers are protected. That's NAMA. Then you get systemic banks that are protected. That's the bank bailout. And then ultimately what you get is a perception that the people will be able to pay all the debt that they have. But it's very simple, Damien. NAMA and the bank bailout are only the aggregation of all people's debts as well. So what you get is you get a shunting out on of the defaults. And ultimately what you see in all countries, that is, goes back to America in the 30s, goes back to the Asian crisis, the Asian tigers in the late 1990s. It goes back to the Japanese crisis in the early 1990s, all driven by far too much cheap money and a sort of an effervescence and a boom. They all culminate in some form of debt forgiveness, of debt amnesty. And that's the way it goes.
In your book, The Pope's Children, and I think in a subsequent book, The Generation Game, is that right?
Yeah.
You said that the people who went out, like young couples who purchased houses and apartments at astronomical prices, were transferring wealth, which they borrowed, to another generation who sold those houses to them frequently.
Yes.
We're now reaching the stage where you're saying that the reverse process is perhaps going to have to take place. But where will the money come from? Who will finance the payback?
It has to take place. Well, the payback will not be financed by those who can't finance it. That's the first thing, right? You've got to define reality, Damien. There's no point you going to say to somebody, there's 40,000 people who are 3 months or more behind in their mortgages. You can't get blood out of the stone. There's no point saying to that person, well, you know, we're going to try and get money out of you when that person doesn't have it. So then you've got to say, okay, who are the creditors in this game? The creditors in this game, the creditors of first instance, are the creditors of the banks, which are bust.
Bondholders again.
Bondholders and ultimately, of course, then the central banks who have been injecting capital into the banks, that capital is not risk-free, Damien. And the central banks have to be taken into a room as well and said, hold on, all that money you injected in the last 2 or 3 years into the Irish banking system was not risk-free. In actual fact, as the lender of last resort, which is your job description, you, the central banks, know that the riskiest capital injected is the last piece of capital in a liquidation. And that's exactly what they have done.
Now,
so ultimately, you've got to change your thinking completely in the same way as Japanese thinking changed in the 1990s, Indonesian and Korean thinking changed, American thinking changed under Roosevelt in the 1930s. This is what happens when the facts on the ground change. You've got to change your opinion.
I think all the political parties are progressively coming around to this idea that something has to be done about this next wave of toxic debt, because it's so huge in scale. There's possibly 70,000 or 80,000 homes already affected by it. Is that right?
Well, there are 40,000 homes definitely affected by it.
That's the 90 days in arrears.
Yeah. But what you can assume is that double or triple that are people who have now entered negotiations maybe to try and pay off a bit of the debt, but not the whole thing. And the whole thing will unravel as it always does, Damien. I mean, this is not any great insight on my part. It's just a little knowledge of what happens post-boom. But the most important thing is that you have to give people hope. We cannot run a society based on recrimination, based on punishment, and based on a moral high ground. We've got to give people hope. And, you know, I look at this not unlike a peace process. Think about the peace process in the North. Think about the peace process in South Africa. Remember in South Africa, they had this reconciliation forum where black people forgave the white Afrikaner policemen and the people who did horrible things to them, because the only way the country could actually grow and recover and be hopeful about the future was through forgiveness. Now, I don't believe that a society, a political society, even when seen through the kaleidoscope of economics, is any different. And unless we give our young people, the people I refer to as the Pope's children or in the Generation Game, and all this was laid out in the Generation Game three years ago, unless we give people hope, Damien, the economy will continue to contract. But much more importantly,
sure,
the political gel that binds this country together will atrophy.
Okay. David McWilliams, author, broadcaster and economist, thanks for joining us here on the Lunchtime programme on News Talk 106 to 108. Now, at just after 12:30, we're going straight across to Opera Lane, where we're joined by Jonathan Healy with all the latest developments.
And the big news, of course, today, Damien, is that Sinn Féin Senator Piers Doherty has won his High Court challenge to the government's 17-month delay in calling a by-election for Donegal South West. The party says it intends tomorrow to table a motion to move the writ for a ballot at the end of this month. The Taoiseach told the Dáil that the government needs time to decide what to do next.